Yeah, we were talking about that the other day, about how in an earlier day, people had so many children, huh? So many. I was actually at a service last night, and the woman was the oldest of 16 children. That's quite a few quivers, huh? And one of the relatives said, well, she was raised on a farm, and one of the things about being on the farm is that many kids are a good thing. Huh? Some of you might be able to relate to that. Yeah. Mothers, influence. I want to talk about those things today, influence. And of course, it's a good topic for Mother's Day. You know, my mother had influenced me. I remember she taught me how to pray early on when she would look at me and she would say, "You better pray, that comes out of the carpet." Yeah, all kind of lessons from our mom, right? Right? Instills such a sense of imagination, you know, in us. Good mothers do, you know, when they look at us and say, "Don't do that or else," and they leave the "or else" to your imagination, right? That's what it is. Our mothers teach us repentance right after that, you know, and they say, "If you do that ever again," right? And then they combine the "don't do that or else," the imagination part, and then they sometimes give you clues to what that "or else" is, you know, when they say, "If you touch that, I'll break all your fingers." Now, mothers, though, are not perfect, amen? Mothers don't have to be perfect to be good mothers, right? I didn't. Mothers aren't perfect. No, I didn't get any amens on that. But you know what? Being perfect is something that is always strived for but never achieved, right? It's something always strived for but never achieved. We're all a work in progress. We all are. I remember when my daughter was a little girl, and we were at Old Bedford Village, and she went up on stage and she sang, "He's still working on me," you know, to make me what I ought to be. And it's true. That's the deal. And that's what we have to understand, that we are all works in progress, right? And the key is to allow God to work in us, to make us who He wants us to be, and to enlarge the influence that we may have as we become closer to Him and we become more godly, right? There were four pastors who were together, and they were debating on which translation of Scripture that they liked the best. And one said, you know, that they liked the King James Version the best because of that, you know, that simple, beautiful English, Old English prose. Well, another pastor said, "Well, I like the New International Version because it's modern, it's today's language." A third preacher said, "Well, I like to read the Message Version, you know, which expands the Scriptures and gives you a paraphrased version of the Scriptures just to be able to really paint pictures." The fourth pastor was silent, didn't say anything. So the three said, "Well, come on, aren't you going to voice your opinion?" And that fourth pastor said, "I like my mother's translation the best." And they said, "Well, your mother translated the Bible?" And the pastor said, "Oh, yeah, my mother translated the Bible into her everyday life by the way she lived." And that was the best answer of all. Amen? It's a mother that tries. Doesn't have to be perfect, but a mother that tries. Do you know the world knows the difference between somebody that's just playing Christianity and somebody that may not be perfect but is trying, right? I really believe that we're living in a very unique time, and I'm sure that other people of other generations have thought the same. But just like the word that came from Mordecai to Esther, the word I believe that comes to us today is that we are here for such a time as this, that every one of us is not here by accident, that every one of us is purposed to be living in this generation, to be living in the place that you're living. and called to be an influence. I believe, though, that the church has lost sight of how to be that influence in the society that we're living in right now. You know, we're called to be light in a generation and a culture that likes the darkness more. So it becomes a challenge of how to be that light, right? We're called to be salt. Now listen to this. In a society that seems to prefer a low-sodium diet. Do you know what I'm saying? Right? But our call really is to demonstrate the difference of being a real Christian and the difference a real Christian can make in our neighborhood, in the workplace, in the world, so that people begin to see more and more of Christ in us, and doing so, they will accept Him for themselves. Amen? We're called to show love and to speak the truth in love. That's what the scriptures say that we are called to do. Now, the why of why we do that comes as we ourselves get closer to God. As our relationship with God grows, the why of sharing love with others becomes more and more clear. Do you understand what I'm saying? The closer you get to God, the closer you get to His heart, the more you feel His heart, and it becomes yours. And His heart, I got to tell you this morning, His heart is for the lost. His heart is for those that do not yet know Him, do not yet know the truth. And the closer you get to the heart of God, deepening your relationship with Him, the more then that heart will be in you, that you will be compelled to share love with others. Now that's the why and the motivation. The how is a little bit more challenging in the day that we're living in, right? I mean, we're living in a day where the message that seems to be surrounding us all the time is some version of tolerance, which to most people that aren't Christians or aren't really hearing from God means that we just accept everybody as they are, and you don't challenge anybody for their beliefs or their actions. And I got to tell you that that's not how to be salt, and that's not how to be light. In the scriptures, this one in particular in 1 Timothy, Paul is speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy. And Timothy has a call in his life. Well, my friends, you have a call in your life. You have a call in your life. I don't care how young, how old, you know, where you are, what you do for a living, whether you're retired or still in school, you have a call on your life. Everybody does. Everybody does. It's time that we understand that. You know, it has gotten so bad that church, you know, people think, okay, well, yeah, ministers are called to preach. And that's all they really think about church. Well, that's not all there is to church. Yeah, I'm called to preach. I'm called to pastor. I know it full well. But you have a calling too. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You know why? He said, for the time will come, and I believe is here, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But now listen to this final verse, verse 5. But you keep your head in all situations. There's a good word. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Well, let's just revisit that for a second. Keep your head in all situations. We're seeing Christians losing their head right now. losing their tempers, losing their Christianity, over the stuff that's going on in America today. And I got to tell you, it's not the right reaction. People are not seeing Christ as Christians react to things that truly are not good. And they know it's not good, but they're not keeping their head in all situations. You see what I mean today? You know, and quite frankly, they're not painting the good picture, the right picture of what it means to be a Christian. And as a result of it, they're not being salt and light. And as a result of that, people don't want what it is that they think they have. Come on. Yeah. How to be light in a generation that likes the darkness. I believe that the answer... Now, granted, I did take the word that God gave me and squeezed it into Mother's Day. But I really believe that as I had this word now for 2 weeks, I really believe that as I prayed how to deliver it today on Mother's Day, the Lord spoke and said, listen, what I've been telling you, you can relate this way to the people, that they need to be spiritual mothers and fathers to other people, first in their own families, but then beyond their families to others. And I think that's a good word for us. That's a good word of how to be salt and light today, to be like a mother to a child, to those that God puts in our path. And here is what I mean by that. You know, a godly mother, even to a wayward child, a godly mother loves them always. Amen? Doesn't always like what they do, right? As mothers, we don't always like what our children do. But do we ever stop loving them? No way, Jose. Mothers, fathers, we're in it, right, forever. And we're not going to give up on our kids. And when God calls us to look at people that aren't yet saved, He calls us to look at them in that same way. Not to give up on them, to look on them through the eyes of like a mother would look on a wayward child. Not give up. You never condone their sin. And you're not hearing me today stand up here and say that we as Christians are called to condone the sin of the world. But you never lose your love for the sinner, right? You may hate what they are doing to themselves and others, but you love them anyway. What I see going on among Christians is, you know, they're acting in anger, understandably, against the things that are going on in our country. In the process, though, they're making this mistake. And I hope you're not making it. If so, repent. And that message is that you know, you got to separate the sin from the sinner. You got to do it to be Christ-like. You got to do it. There's a spirit of hatred that's rising up, even among Christians. And we must resist it. Amen? We got to model Christ. Because I'll tell you what, it's really interesting that when Jesus walked upon this earth, He hung out with tax collectors and sinners. I was reading in the scriptures, in the Gospels, you know, in Matthew chapter 9, for example, it talks about how Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. Who was Matthew? That's right. A tax collector, a sinner that had been called to follow Jesus. And boy, you know, the religious people of Jesus' day, they really came down on Him for doing that. And as a result of it, you know, Jesus said, listen, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. Go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. How will they hear? Right? And then Mark's gospel, you know, it actually calls Matthew Levi, which was another name for the same person. And it says that Jesus whenever he heard the rumblings, began to teach them about what it means to go after those who are wayward. And do you remember the parables that he told? He says, suppose if one of you has 100 sheep and loses one, does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And he who finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. You ever see one of those paintings with the little lamb on Jesus' shoulders? This is the passage that is painted to depict. It's the lamb that had gone astray that Jesus went after, right? Yeah. He calls his friends, Jesus said, and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. You know, the Lord is not against partying for the right reasons. There's rejoicing in heaven. Why? What does the scripture say? When does heaven rejoice? Somebody tell me now. You know your Bible. When does heaven rejoice? That's right. When someone turns to the Lord, when a sinner repents, when they come to know Christ, heaven rejoices. It's time that we touch base with heaven and begin to get excited about the joy that should come into the house of God when somebody turns to Him. It's time, church. As I had mentioned before, we got to break loose of this feeling that church is about us four and no more. You know, about us, and that it doesn't matter what goes on out there. Now, I know that for you, church is a place of refuge, and that's a good thing. I'm not ever saying we're gonna get rid of that. Church is, you know, it should be a filling station, right? It should be the place where we come, we get uplifted, we get encouraged. We get around people that are like-minded, that want to be like Christ, and that are willing to try out them being like Christ on you by loving you in their own ways, sometimes imperfectly, but still they try, right? And you can be yourself. Cindy stood up here today, you know, and she says, I don't know if I'm going to get through this without crying or what emotion's going to come out. She was comfortable standing in front of you and bearing herself to you. Why? Because you are her spiritual family. That's church. And we're never going to lose that. As a matter of fact, that's what people want when they come to church. But listen, we got to understand too, that there are so many more that people wants to come to know, that Christ wants to come to know Him. That this is the filling station. The mission is out there. Amen? And by the way, you know, you can bring them in. I won't mind at all. And I hope you don't either. I love it that, you know, on Monday nights now the sanctuary is cleared and these big thick mats are rolled out into this sanctuary, and kids in elementary school are coming here to learn wrestling, right? I pray that they learn a whole lot more than wrestling. Amen? Yeah. I pray that as they are around godly men and women, that they begin to understand Christ. And they come to know Him. Amen. I mean, we got to be to other people that are lost like spiritual mothers and fathers, right? You know, a godly mother has unconditional and sacrificial love, right? That's what you see in a godly mother. It's such a beautiful thing. Sacrificial, unconditional love. It's the feeling that you get from a godly mother that you are valued and loved. Boy, I'm telling you what, that's what people want and that's what people need. The feeling that they are valued and loved. A godly mother tries to keep you on the right path, right? Tries to teach you right and wrong. And most importantly, tries to model it. This is what we're called to be to those that don't yet know Him. A mother, a godly mother, can correct you in love, right? The breaking fingers part was just a funny joke, you know. It's correct you in love. And the most important thing, listen, is a godly mother introduces you to Jesus as a relationship to be entered into, not a religion to blindly follow. A godly mother introduces you to Jesus as a relationship to be entered into, not a religion to blindly follow. Amen? This is the role of a godly mother, and this is the role of each and every Christian that is called to be godly parents to those who God puts in your path or those who God sends you to. And He is going to do both for you. I guarantee you, you become willing to be godly spiritual mothers and fathers to others, and God will bring people into your path, or He'll give you a strong, clear word of who He wants you to go to. Amen? I mean, I'm not preaching a word today that should make you uncomfortable, thinking that I want you to be like a vacuum sweeper salesman. You know, I remember the days long ago when, before I was a pastor in the Christian church, after I was saved, and hearing a message on evangelism that made me think the pastor wants me to be a spiritual vacuum sweeper salesman. And it turned me right off. It was like, I can't do that. I don't want to be sticking my foot in the door when people try to close it and try to force myself on them. You know what I mean? I don't want to be carrying my bag of dirt and dump it on their floor. Some of you understand that because you've been attacked as well by those vacuum sweeper salesmen. But listen, you don't have to be that kind of an evangelist. Amen? Have the heart of a godly mother. Whether you're a father or a man or a woman, have the heart of a godly mother and love people into the kingdom and love those that God gives you. God doesn't need you to save the world, but I bet you that He needs you to save one, maybe more, depending upon who you are, where you're at. But I know this, God is calling you. Us. He really is. And here on Mother's Day, I believe that this message that God laid in my heart 2 weeks ago is able to be translated to you through the eyes of a godly mother. Do you get it? Mothering people into the kingdom of God, right? Sure. Do you understand how that can work, right? Now, are you willing? Are you willing? There's a passage in Isaiah that I'll close with today. And it's a great passage of Scripture. It says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" And it's a rhetorical question, you know. It's a question that God is asking here, trying to have people understand the heart of God. And God says, listen, I am like that godly mother. He says this in verse 16 of Isaiah 49. "See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." This is what God said about you. Before you were saved, I have you engraved on the palm of my hands. You know what that means? That means you were ever before God. You were always on His mind. He always loved you and wanted you to come to Him. That's you. Now, I believe today God wants to engrave on your hands the names of some people that He has for you to reach. And if you leave this place today being aware of that and being aware of your calling to be spiritual parents to people yet not knowing the Lord, that you will see God use you in mighty ways. Amen? Father, we come before you and thank you, Lord, for you are the best parent that anyone could ever have. You never gave up on us. Lord, when Jesus went to the cross, our names were inscribed upon his palms, the ones that they pierced. Lord, you called us and you rescued us. Lord, you relentlessly pursued us. You put people in our path that we would come to know you. And now, Lord God, you call us into the same ministry, each one of us, to be salt and light to those you give us. And so, Lord, today, Lord, help us all be inspired by your motherly affections. Help us today to be remembering godly mothers and their influences that they can have upon people. And help us to know that this is the Spirit that we must use to reach the world for you. The love that a mother has for a child, unconditional, unrelenting. Lord, give us that same love for others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To all your mothers, thank you. Thank you for being good influence and continuing to want to be even a better influence. Grandmothers, oh yeah. Salt and light. Tea, unique flavored, right? Indeed. I pray that God brews you a little while in that pot and then pours you out, huh? For others to taste. God bless you as you go today. Happy Mother's Day.